Well, hello, Broadway. I have to say a very quick Happy New Year to you. This is being filmed prior to Christmas, so my temptation is to say Merry Christmas, but you've had all that. Now it's Happy New Year. And being the new year, I'm Wendell, by the way, in case you don't know. I'm the recovery pastor here at Broadway. We meet on Sunday nights at Pathway, and so you're welcome to come. Be with us anytime you want. 5 o'clock, food and fellowship. 6 o'clock, we have music and sharing. So anyway, Lewis and I are preaching this Sunday, like literally, not just virtually. And we got our heads together about, what do we want to talk about heading down 2022? What do we want to talk about? And so we came up with the idea of partnering with the Holy Spirit as we face the new year. And we're going to unpack that this Sunday, literally, and today, virtually. But here we are standing at the starting line, just a few days away from the beginning of a new year. And our normal thing would be to kind of ball up our fists and clench our teeth together and say, okay, I'm going to make some resolutions, and this time I'm really going to keep them. You know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep them. And it'll probably be some of the typical things that we do every year. Stay away from so much sugar, don't work so hard, whatever. But some of them will include our religious life, spiritual life, relationship with God, whatever you want to call that, our church life, whatever you refer to that as. And so we'll say things like, well, I am going to read the Bible more, pray more, I'm going to give more money in the offering plate, I'm going to do more good deeds. Those would be the typical resolutions that we would try to make. Well, you heard the passage of scripture read today, and in the light of that, I want to rethink this resolution thing. The first question I would ask is kind of a slap in the face to all of us. Do we really have the right to make New Year's resolutions solo? Are we really... do we have the chops for that? Are we qualified for that? And are we on our own so that we can choose our own course? Or are we really not on our own and we're living life with the Spirit? And that's what Jesus was talking about to his disciples. He gave them, at the Last Supper there, he gave them an absolute paradigm shift for them. Everybody knows what a paradigm shift is. I mean, centuries ago, we used to think that the world was the center of the universe and everything revolved around us, including the sun. Pretty arrogant of humans to think that, but we didn't know any better. And so when we finally discovered the sun was the center and we revolved around it, giant paradigm shift. But we still thought the world was flat. And people were burned at the stake for saying it was round there for a while. Such a huge paradigm shift to discover the world was round. Well, this is a mind-boggling thing that Jesus said to his disciples at the Last Supper. He said, it's better if I go away, because if I do, I will send, and we read it today, I will send the friend, the comforter, the counselor. The Greek word is the paraclete. I will send him. It's better. I mean, you've lived 3 years with the Son of God. You've camped out with him. You've eaten meals with him. You've watched him work miracles. He's even let you participate, you know, with the biscuits and sardines those 2 times. He passed them out. They kept getting bigger and bigger. You felt the power. You've seen, you've heard, you've witnessed this. And it's the best life you've ever lived. It's been frightening. It's been challenging. It's the best life you've ever lived. And now he's sitting there with you eating and saying, but there's something better than this. You have to put yourself in their shoes. Wrap your mind around what they're trying to process this. You know, piece of bread in their mouth and some wine. They're thinking, ugh, you know, I can't wrap my head around this. But he said it was good. He said it was better. And God has always done better. And he's always done good. Anytime there's any kind of paradigm shift, it's always for the good and for our good. If you think back at the beginning of scripture, and I don't even know what this means, where You know, the darkness hovered over the face of the deep. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't want to go there. It's not a place I want to visit. It's not a place I want to live. It sounds kind of scary. It sounds foreboding. And God said, I'm going to make light. I'm going to make the planet. I'm going to make, and he made everything that was. And every time he got done with a project, he said, that was good. And then when he made man and woman, he said, that's very good. So upgrade. He upgraded from chaos, darkness, to this good. And then when he sent his son, the incarnation, that's the creation, the incarnation, when he sent his son to be born, the angels appeared to the shepherds and they said, we have good news, not bad news, not neutral news, but good news for all mankind. And again, a paradigm shift. God is with us, but it's an upgrade. It's always an upgrade. And so now Jesus is with his disciples at the last meal, and he says, it's better, it's good if I leave, because if I do, I'll send the counselor. Another upgrade. So we're living in that upgrade right now. You and I are living in that paradigm. If God wants to shift it, he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But that's where we're living right now, in that paradigm. So he's referring to the Holy Spirit, but he uses the word paraclete. We're going to unpack that in just a minute. But we know we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. And just for a second, I want to go negative. And I don't enjoy this part, but we need to. We have really misconstrued, misunderstood, misrepresented. We've abused the Holy Spirit. Been disrespectful. That's the way to say it. We've been disrespectful. I've come across groups of people in my ministry. One group of people said, looked right at me. Their representative looked right at me and said, we believe that the Holy Spirit is a force or an energy, kind of like electricity. The Holy Spirit is an it. It's not a he, not a person, but an it, a force. And I remember just thinking, oh my. And then there's another group of people whose representatives talked to me and said, we believe that the Holy Spirit is literally the written Bible. Just the written word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is. So then there again, the Holy Spirit is an it. He's not a person. And then there's another group of people who kind of, I don't want to be mean, but they kind of use the Holy Spirit as their cocaine. You know, we use the Holy Spirit to gain emotional euphoria, to help us feel good, to help us have a good time, you know. And that's what the Holy Spirit is to them. I guess they would call him not an it, but a him. But still, we use him to make us feel good. But then there's most of us, if you're watching this today, probably, maybe not, but probably you fall into the largest category of people who see the Holy Spirit as more of a theological concept. He's the third mysterious member of the Trinity that gets honorable mention. We talk a lot about the Father, we talk a lot about the Son, and the Spirit comes in kind of third place, and we just kind of refer to the Spirit as a theological concept. He's real, but we don't know what that means, and it's too mysterious, so don't dig into it. Don't try to understand the Holy Spirit. That's where I live most of my life. But I can't get away from this Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And the place where he talked about the Holy Spirit more than anything else is in the Gospel of John. And I think, I should know this, but I think it starts around chapter 14 and moves on through several chapters. And I think there's four specific mentions, there may be five, four specific mentions of the Spirit. But the one that was read today, he said, it's better that I go because he can come. But he referred to him as the paraclete. That's a Greek word, and it literally is translated as the one who comes alongside. And I did even some more research. I've done a lot in the past, but I did some more today, not today, but this week, on the meaning of that word, paraclete. It could be translated friend. It could be translated counselor, comforter, literally one who comes alongside, partner. But the idea of partnership with a paraclete is not just an equal partner. The idea with a paraclete is a senior partner, and we're the junior partner. And the senior partner is more experienced, more knowledgeable, wiser, more effective, could we say, and in a sense more powerful, can get more done. So the idea of the paraclete is this partner who is not just a buddy partner, but is a senior partner who comes alongside of us. He's not up in front saying, come on, keep up, and he's not behind nipping at our heels, but he's walking beside us as our senior experienced partner who stays right with us through thick and thin, through the whole thing. And what's interesting is in the Gospel of John, when Jesus, during this Last Supper, when he refers to the Holy Spirit, he never uses any other term but paraclete. That's the one he uses over and over and over as he goes through here. That's not a coincidence. That's not an accident. He carefully chose that term and made it clear this is why it's better. And he said, he said, currently he is with you, but he will be in you. So this partnership is not, well, I better pick up the phone and call him. I better send him a text and see if what his advice is. This partnership is extremely intimate. He is right here inside. He is a whisper away, a thought away, a feeling away. He does life with us. And so kind of the upshot of this whole thing, what's the point of this, Wendell? Where are we going with this? The paradigm shift for me with all of this, and it doesn't mean it has to be with you, but the paradigm shift with me for all this was, I lived most of my life, well, when I was 6 years old, I knew I was supposed to be a minister. Go figure. I don't know how I knew. I just did. So I lived my whole life with this idea of, what do you do, Wendell? Well, I'm going to work for God. You know, like his employee or his servant or his, in extreme cases, his slave, whatever. I'm going to work for God. And then I come up on this story of the paraclete in the Last Supper. And the tone changes from working life or living life working for God to doing life with God, that God is now my partner in life. So this is silly. So, but in the morning, you wake up and you roll out of bed and you look over at the Spirit. You can't see the Spirit, but whatever. Go along with me on this. You look over at the Spirit and you say, so what are we doing today? You know, and he says, well, I had in mind that so-and-so over here is hurting, or so-and-so might need attention, or this might, you know, let's go do that together. It's not like you're working for him. It's like you're working with him, doing it with him. And just for fun every now and then, I imagine that you wake up and look over and he looks at you and says, so what do you want to do today? I'll do it with you. And so we partner. That's what partners do. And they live life together. So this, think of the freedom that comes with this. I'm not responsible for my days anymore. I'm not responsible for my performance. I'm not responsible for my vocation, for my position here at church. I'm not responsible for pathway. I'm responsible in that situation. I'm responsible to just be me along with the Spirit who lives life with me. There's freedom that comes with that. And if you mess up or whatever, your partner says, what do we learn from that, and how might we change that tomorrow? Or the next day, or the next time you encounter that. It's so different than having to go in and your head hung low and you're standing in front of the boss. Oh, I messed up today. Oh, I did so terrible today. I feel so guilty. I feel such shame. That's gone. It's just gone. Because I'm just living life. You could just live life with the Spirit. So let's just, I don't know, let's just kind of ask the question that needs to be asked when you're introduced with maybe a new idea like this. So what does this look like? How does this play out in my day-to-day life? And I think we get a really good, clear look at this in Luke's book, the Gospel, or the book of Acts. Somebody once said, you know, that the name of that should be changed to the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is so active in the early church and in the lives of all these people. And if you want to know how this partnership with the Spirit works, look at what happened there. Of course, Luke chronicles the onset of, or the gift of the Spirit there at Pentecost in the upper room in the second chapter. But then as you go through the book, I would challenge you, if you want to do this, challenge you to go through Acts and see how this phrase plays out. And full of the Holy Spirit, they, what comes next? Dot, 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 what comes next? And almost every case, not every case, but almost every case, you will see, and full of the Holy Spirit, Peter, James, John, whatever, full of the Holy Spirit, they spoke. Over and over and over, they spoke. And if you look, there's so many examples of where they, how and what they spoke. But you look at the guy on the steps of the temple when they're walking up there and he's begging for money, and full of the Holy Spirit, they looked at him and they spoke. They said, "We don't have any money, but what we have, we give to you." And they spoke healing into his life. And if you follow through Acts, you find this as a theme. They speak truth. They speak encouragement. They speak whatever. They're out of the mouth. So the Holy Spirit is the senior partner. The Holy Spirit has ideas, has desires, has directions for today in this encounter with so-and-so. So as your partner, you listen to him. You stay in tune with him. And when it comes to your mind, what he's doing in that other person, you speak it out. You see yourself as a cripple. That's not how I see you. I see you as someone who is vital and thriving. You see yourself as stuck in depression. I see you as a person who can find joy. You speak, you listen to their story. You stay in tune with what the Spirit's doing in them the best you can. You get better at this as you go along. But you stay in tune with what the Spirit's doing in them, and then you speak it out. This is what I see in you. One of the most fun ways to do this is so fun to do this, is if you see somebody who kind of doubts themselves or lacks confidence or sees themselves as a little less than, and you look at them and you say, this person is really gifted in such and such or so and so. This person has a knack at doing this. This person has a strength and a talent here. Look them right in the eye and say, I want you to listen to me. What I see in you, and then speak it out. It's embarrassing to you. It's embarrassing to them. It creates an awkward moment. You know, it's like, oh, nobody's ever said that to me before. But once you do that a few times, it's not so awkward. And it begins to be a very potent, powerful moment, because it doesn't come from you. It's you partnering with the Spirit, speaking into this other person's life. So here we are facing 2022. We can make the same old resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Or you can look at your partner and say, what are we going to do? And I don't know that he's going to give you an outline for a whole year. He might. It's up to him. I can't say what the Spirit's going to do. But my guess would be he would say, just hang with me and let's see what happens today. You wake up the next day, hang with me, let's see what happens today. So if we do have a resolution, what if it would be, I just want to hang with the Spirit every day and see where this goes. Don't have a plan. Don't have a blueprint. Don't have a roadmap. But we're just going to see how this goes day by day by day, one step at a time, through not even the whole year. How about we just work on a week and see where this goes? Love the person in front of you, but not on your own power. Do it in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Makes all the difference in the world. It'll change people's lives Guaranteed. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so glad for the gift of your Spirit. It's generous, it's intimate, it's life-changing. And for years we have just juggled it up in the air like a couple balls, like a concept. Isn't that interesting? And now we want to live it. We want to live in this partnership with the Spirit and take full advantage of the gift that you promised and that you have given to us. And so we look forward to this 2022 and can't wait to see how it's going to unfold one moment at a time, one encounter, one day at a time. We're anxious to do that. So thank you for the gift, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining us this morning. Happy New Year.